of Stock Talk. Today, we are thrilled to have Sarah Wilbanks. Sarah is with IOSCA. She's going to tell us everything there is to know about seed certification and how it affects IPSA members. And we are just thrilled to have her on here because we don't know anything about that. And so that's why she's here. She's going to help us be educated today. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You know, we got a chance to catch up last week for the first time in a while at the Corn Belt Seed and Grain Conference. So I was excited about some of the things that you were doing there. And I mean, clearly, I think that one of the things that is happening in seed certification is that a lot of our IPSA members know about it, but probably don't appreciate everything that IOSCA does. So you want to give us a quick rundown of what all you are doing and what all you've got your hands in right now? What's important?
Sure. Yeah. So at IOSCA, we, as you know, our organization has been around for a very long time. We were established in 1919 as the International Crop Improvement Association. Currently, though, we're not just limited to the United States. We have agencies in seven countries with certifying here in the U.S. about 3.2 million acres of 47, I think, different crop kinds at this point. Another million acres in Canada, and then smaller acreages in some of our other member countries. And so the biggest thing that certification does is it allows a third-party approach to get high-quality, high-value crop varieties to the marketplace. And so we have several different initiatives that we are actively working on. One thing that we just finished up this year was a standards book modernization. And so each crop kind that we offer in the certification program has particular standards that allow that crop to be inspected to the highest possible marketable standards. So that's isolation distances, that's making sure conditioners are cleaned out so that the seed starts clean and stays clean throughout the multiplication process before it makes it to the consumer chain. And so with that process, we've reviewed every single crop standard that we've had, updated a standards book. It was a two-year process, and we were really excited to have that done, especially us in the office. And that's something that really gave us that opportunity to have discussions about Federal Seed Act requirements, have discussions about what each agency is doing internally to make sure that we were adjusting to industry needs. As we all know, regulatory-wise, we follow what requirements the Federal Seed Act puts out there for us. But that's a pretty old document. And at times, that doesn't make sense for emerging technologies and just the practicality of the modern farmer. And so we went through that process, excited to have that published this year. I'd say that's one of our biggest feathers in our cap for 2025. And then we've launched some other programs that have been extremely successful. So for the seed industry, and I think we all struggle with this in agriculture, we have a great group of people, our predecessors who are leaving the field, and we have new folks coming in. And in so many situations, you know, you don't always go to school for a job like this. Yeah. And we thought, okay, it's time for us to invest as an association into our membership and make sure that our members are getting the education that they need to stay in the industry, to feel like they have a community in the industry, and so that they can be successful. And so we launched the IOSCA Academy last year. It's kind of been one of my pet projects. We had like 22 people graduate from the Academy this June, and we have another 23 going through it currently. So we're on our second year. It's been really good. Of course, it's one of those things that you launch and then you say, oh, I got to edit this. I've got to change this. I've got to add this other content to the training. But it's going really well. And I think it's something that, or something similar, we all need to consider making sure that we're investing into these people who have interest in our field. Because without seed, without seed testing, without seed companies, no one or nothing eats. And so that's what we rely on for our safe, secure food supply. So that's been a great project. And then we have other educational projects going on, inspector credentialing program that just launched actually this week. And just different things that we're trying to make sure that we're kind of investing back into our membership. And being able for all of our members across all of, all of the US and those in other countries to have the best, can provide the best possible service to those utilizing the certification system.
So, you know, every single time I talk to you, I learn something new about Ayahuasca. So first off, because now I got a ton of questions. First off, I was not aware that you were actually international in scope. For some reason, I thought this was really focused only in the United States. But you said you've got seven countries outside the United States. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
All right. So where are those? I mean, where are you reaching out to? I think you and I have talked about Africa a bit. So is that one of the areas?
South Africa is a member country. And for many years, we had a gentleman from South Africa sit on our board as one of our global board of directors. Currently, that position is vacant. But Canada, of course, is our largest country. Most seed sold in Canada has to be certified. And so we work very closely with Canada. They were one of our founding members of the association over 100 years ago. Chile, Argentina, Brazil, Australia, and New Zealand, along with South Africa, are our other countries. Okay. They generally utilize the OECD seed schemes, unless something's going to be coming into the states or among those countries to Ayahuasca tag it. But they're also participating countries of kind of our sister group of certification, which is called OECD.
Gotcha. So do you see the opportunity to continue expansion in the international area? I mean, is there an opportunity also to continue to expand in Africa and then even into Europe more?
Sure. So the really interesting thing about Africa, and we take for granted so much here in the U.S. and our food system and our seed system, that food is so relatively available. And it's not like that in Africa. And I was able to attend a meeting in Africa a couple years ago and was able to go meet with some certified growers. And it was really eye-opening to someone that is from the U.S. that has not really had food security issues in my everyday life. And there's a huge need for reliable seed, genetically pure seed for farmers to have access to and to multiply to have seed to go to the value chain. And all the seed in Africa and most African countries, they're now requiring it to be certified seed. So you see the value there so much more, in my opinion, in a country who is where we were, 100 years ago in establishing a food system that we take for granted, and that you see they're choosing and they see the value in certified seed, where in the U.S., it's not required. And so kind of the industrial market is taken over, and it just depends on if the breeder chooses to have that variety in the program or not.
Got it. And tell us a little bit more about specifically the member organizations in Ayahuasca, because, I mean, for instance, I know we've talked to Craig over at Indiana Crop. I know Indiana Crop is a big part of that. I know that, for instance, you're down outside, well, significantly outside of Atlanta, but you're down in Georgia. I know Georgia Improvement is there too. So what are the main organizations that are within the Ayahuasca umbrella?
Sure. So the Ayahuasca is able to perform the work that it does in the certification realm because of an MOU with USDA. And so within that, it pretty much says, don't quote me verbatim here, but that they allow Ayahuasca to provide the certification services within its member agencies. So by state law, every Ayahuasca member agency is able to kind of uphold the standards that we all set. And so we have 43 U.S. agencies, and within their state law, it says this is the group that can do that. And what is a little confusing sometimes is that they can be crop improvement associations like the ones that you mentioned with Indiana or Georgia. But oftentimes our agencies in a particular state may have landed within a Department of Agriculture, or they may be within a university structure somewhere. And that really goes back to the land-grant university. That's where this kind of started, and where plant breeders kind of got their start getting varieties released. And then kind of where funding maybe trickled out over time and where these programs were able to kind of land. But we do have 43 agencies here in the U.S. that are our most active agencies. And the range on crop kinds and acres could be from, you know, a couple thousand to hundreds of thousands of acres.
Well, and that was actually going to be my next question, which is, you know, Catherine and I think in terms of always corn and soybeans, you know, first, and then the other row crops, but you're going to touch everything. Is that correct? I mean, all the way down into the vegetable crops as well.
Yeah, we do have some vegetables in the program. Most of the things that we do are typical agronomic crop types, you know, small grains, wheat. Are in pretty much every one of our U.S. agencies. Grass is a huge industry here in the South, something that is under the certification umbrella that is not per se maybe typical, but is vegetatively propagated turf grass for sod production. So it's guaranteeing that those purchasing sod are getting the variety with no noxious weeds, you know, no problems as they plant that sod on the ball fields or their home lawn and things like that. But we touch things like hemp. We were the organization that established hemp standards. So as hemp was coming to market as a true, you know, industrial hemp product, which we all know how that went. So we're kind of circling back maybe to what we intended to do in the beginning. But everything, sunflowers, tons of different crops, depending on what part of the U.S. that you're in.
So when we're talking again, and I'm going to jump back to talking about the membership. So you've got the crop improvement associations, you've got organizations within state departments of agriculture, and you've got some university led in specific states. There are also private organizations that are contracted with the states. Is that correct? Do I understand that right? Or some private companies?
No. So the private company sector would actually come in as applicants for seed certification to our agency. So AOSCA doesn't work with those folks specifically, but they would work with our agencies as they buy a higher class of seed like foundation or registered and want to then harvest or have, you know, certified seed for sale or for whatever end use that they may need.
Okay, so it really then is in the state departments and the university and really in those type systems. And now, Do they contract anything out? Like in individual states, do they contract services out to be able to do some of this? Or do they do it all in-house with actual, you know, state-run lab or land-grant university-run labs?
Yeah. So it's a little different everywhere, quite honestly, and it kind of depends on staff and the makeup of that particular organization. We do have, I would say, maybe 15% of our agencies that have a laboratory in with the agency. So we see that in the Midwest a good bit, where we've got some of our best labs in the country located, and they kind of have this lab component along with the certification, and those things kind of run in tandem with each other, but they each kind of belong to their own association. So lab testing, they have an association for that. And then the certification side, we have our association for that side. One thing that I like to talk when I kind of go all over the world and talk about certified seed is that within our agency and the way that kind of the umbrella trickles down is that we've got, you know, thousands of highly qualified professionals that can go out and provide this third quality approach to quality of seed. And that's something I think that's really important, especially in an environment in which, you know, we have these AI conversations and we have these, how can we do things more efficient conversations, which is all great and where the industry, you know, is going in some capacities, but we still enjoy and we still, really need in the agriculture industry, you know, that customer service approach. We need somebody that we know. Our growers want to pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, what is this? How do I fix it? What do we need to do about this? You know, it's like calling someone on the phone and you dial one like 500 times and you still don't get an actual human. And so I think that's something that I like to kind of say is just that we're able to kind of touch people in a lot more personal capacity with the work that we do outside of just, just, you know, looking at field crops.
Which I think is 100% one of our challenges. We've talked about AI, and of course, you and I have done that, and then we were both at Corn Belt, and they were doing that as well. And, you know, that's one of our passions at IPSA. But it's one of our challenges is the customer service aspect. And I see more and more people starting to talk about how we can use AI for customer service. And my only comment is don't. People need to be able to pick up a phone and talk to a human. And I can say my experience yesterday trying to get a person on the phone had me dialing 6 numbers. I've counted it. I said, can't believe this. I've been through 6 numbers only to get recordings. And then, you know, finally just had to resort to texting where I actually got an answer. And it's frustrating. And AI can't handle that. We do have to have a level of human touch, especially in customer service. So you hit on something that's really, you know, very important to us in the agriculture industry in general. In that, back at the very beginning when you were talking about the Ayahuasca Academy and what you were doing in order to try and, you know, make sure that you had a community of people that were continuing on in this aspect. And I mean, the way I relate that is we've got an intellectual transfer that is happening in ag right now where we have, you know, and we've been going through this process, but we're about to lose, you know, really decades of agronomic knowledge that it's going to shift to the next generation who are not just right behind, but are 10 to 15 years younger with 10 to 15 years less experience. And being able to make this knowledge transfer successful is something that's very concerning to us. And as people just start stepping in, whether it's, you know, I look at it from our agronomic, you know, agronomy advisor companies and even ownership transfers within IPSA member companies as generational shifts start to take into effect here. How do you see this playing out more in Ayahuasca? I really like what you're saying. It sounds like you're really trying to prepare for that eventuality to make sure that there is a continuity in certification. But how do you see that playing out at your member organizations and then in the industry as a whole for certification?
Sure. Yeah, I think the Academy has been a really good tool for us because in so many cases, especially our agencies that may fall within a either university structure or a Department of Ag structure, funding and people and red tape challenges are just a part of the nature of the beast there, right? And I'm not right. throwing any of those programs under the bus. It's just a part of the process. And sometimes, you know, positions may sit for a month or a year or whatever it may be because an agency needs to absorb funding or decisions, you know, just haven't been made. And therefore, trying to get someone in there and train them correctly is really hard. In a lot of cases, we've had situations where, you know, a retirement is announced and they don't feel someone that's been working for 30 or 40 years in a role for a year or for it, don't even try the process until someone has actually left that position. And so with that, you know, folks walk into these roles at times as a field inspector or maybe in a laboratory or wherever it may be. And, you know, they're just kind of hit like, I have no, I mean, this is really hard. And there's so much with what we do that's, you know, that the application of the science. And so we have a standards book, but one of the biggest things that I really wanted to help folks with is the interpretation. So how do you actually interpret this? And then sometimes there are a little bit of, well, is this realistic, right? Does this actually happen? Will the seed cleaner clean this out? And you really don't have a problem here that you, you know, have kind of wondered about. And so I think it's huge for our industry. So anything that we can do to try to help do that, I think mentoring other people, I don't think any of us are where we are without someone along the way kind of catching us and helping us along. I think we all need to make an effort personally to find someone in the industry to mentor. It's the only way, you know, people stay where they're at when they feel like there's a community behind them and when they feel passionate about what they do, that they're making an impact. And I think it's kind of all of our responsibility in ag to do that because we play such a crucial role in everyone's life. But I think that's huge. And, you know, we've done the same thing kind of on the inspector side of things. We've identified how interpretation may be changed, how people can do stuff or how agencies may do something a little different because of just practicality or access to to folks to do those jobs. And so just providing those things for us is really top priority so that we can make sure we're offering the best quality services in a system that, you know, it's not required. So,
you know, and that's and it's very important. And I think one of the background things, and again, I'm speaking, you know, from Ipsen, I may not be speaking for everybody, but, you know, everything that you described that AOSCA is responsible for in the seed certification area and, you know, working with everything else, it's just almost something that we just accept is going to happen back there. And sometimes it's like, you know, we know we have to have all of this and we know it happens, but we're just not worried about it from that aspect because it's all good. And so until something goes wrong, nobody really thinks too much about it. And it sounds like you're doing a great job of preparing for the eventuality to make sure that nothing does go wrong in a transitional period. So when you're looking at the AOSCA Academy, who is it you're targeting for your to come to the AOSCA Academy? I know it's around member organizations within AOSCA, but who are the individuals that you're targeting for anybody that might be sitting out there and say, you know, I'm interested in that. I'd like to learn more.
Sure. So we've targeted the first year I did this, and you never know when you launch a new program, who's interested, you know, if this is going to fall on its face or if it's going to be a wild success. But we, I just said anyone being that this is the first year, 5 years of service or less in certification, like, or in the seed industry. And so sometimes we have people come over from maybe seed testing labs. Now they're in certification and they're kind of having to learn that side of things. We have people just coming out of college as inspector jobs. We have folks that are just coming into directorships, executive directors or CEOs of their organizations. And so we kind of captured all of those folks in that first year. And the second year, I'm seeing a lot more of just new to the industry, just new to seed, just new to their role. Maybe not as many directors that went through the first year. But I think it's, I really do think it's been valuable to at least have those touch points to, with people and for me to build those relationships with all these folks so that they know what the AOSCA office can offer them as a, you know, kind of, I call it the hub. So like, call us, we'll fix your problems. We'll try to get all the information that you need, all of those types of things. And so, that's pretty much who we've been targeting. And we, you may see this in your association too, but so often when you come to meetings, people have to make the decision, like, it's all comes down to money. Everything in the world comes down to money. Yeah. Like, how many people can we take? What does it cost? Who's going to do the work back home?
100%. We see that exact same thing. And, you know, exactly.
I will die on this hill probably, but I encourage people, bring someone other than the top decision maker. If you're going to go somewhere, bring somebody else. Like, start investing in other people so you don't create the situation where the top guy came for 30 years and then now he's gone and somebody is starting from scratch. Sometimes the top guy doesn't always trickle down the new ideas and the new things and, you know, all the way down to everybody else. And so that's another thing, like with the mentorship side, like, really think about that. And if you, you know, if you can, it might not be every year, but I really encourage people to, for any of our groups, take other people, invest in the folks, you know, that you're trying to, that are the up and comers.
Absolutely. I think that is good advice for everybody. So on the Academy itself, 6 sessions, is that what I understand are out there?
I think this year I went a little overboard and added a couple more to it. But yeah, I think last year we may have done 5, this year we might be doing 7 or 8. But yeah. And then we do, it's all virtual other than at our annual meeting, we kick it off with an in-person for those who can attend. Of course, we don't have everyone.
So let me ask you this, you know, is this something that, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, well, Catherine and Todd need to learn more about certification. Can we attend? Can we pay and come to the virtual meetings and say, yeah, we want to go to AOSCA Academy?
Sure. I've actually not thought about that. I've kind of had my blinders on about just, you know, like, just my people, right? So I would say we could definitely work on something like that. So if there were, you know, our sister associations, as I call you guys, or anyone else kind of within your groups that are interested in it or interested to see, you know, what the benefits of certified seed are, if that's something they want to participate in, we can definitely, you know, I'll make anything happen. So,
well, that's awesome, because I would say that, you know, we should explore, you know, particularly in the IFSA membership and our seed companies out there who might have some interest in doing that. If you have the availability and capability of having additional people, you know, participate with the, you know, the virtual training, because I need to tell you, we might be surprised at what we come back with and, you know, how people want to be able to help engage with you there. So that certainly seems like something that, that we need to look into and talk about a little bit more. So, obviously, Sarah, gotta help me remember back. You've been now at AOSCA for 4 years. Is that what I'm remembering?
Yeah.
Which obviously you stepped into Chet Boroff's shoes, which I know were big because Chet had been there for, well, I don't want to shame Chet. I'm not going to say forever, but a long time. Mm-hmm. 30 years. Is that right?
Yes.
I mean, those big shoes to fill.
They
what
were.
What did you find was the toughest part about coming in behind Chet, just from a personal standpoint?
You know, Chet, everywhere you go, Chet is like, everyone says he's a class act. And, you know, I agree.
He
and
really
I think
is.
That, you know, a great guy, and he's done everything in his power to help me. And he's also been really good about, you know, stepping back. Like, I'm here if you need me, if you have a question, but also he was never overbearing with the transition and that stuff. And I really applaud that, because that's not an easy situation to be in as you decide to retire. But yeah, he set up the association really wonderfully. And, you know, the framework was there. And then, you know, I was able to kind of come in and just bring some of my experiences, right? The Academy was born because I was that person in a role, you know, going to graduate school, and trying to run an association here in the South, and, you know, really didn't have a whole lot of mentorship opportunities there. And so that's where the Academy came from. And so it was kind of nice to know the framework was there, and then just kind of take, just different, you know, initiatives that I had to bring those into fruition.
Very good. And yes, Chet always was a class act. Certainly, you know, a gentleman to the extreme, really and truly. So the Academy 2025, big accomplishment for AOSCA. What is your major focus for 2026? What is it that everybody needs to know you're going to be focused on in 26?
Yeah, so we've got several strategic initiatives that we're trying to, you know, bring into fruition. Like you guys, we're a small staff, so we wear a lot of hats every single day. And, you know, I do a lot of travel. But we've, with the Inspector Credentialing Program, that's something new for us. And so we've got, it shows you the need. So when you come up with these ideas and your perception is, hey, there's a need somewhere, you never really know how it's going to trickle out. But we have over 50 individuals that are not Academy participants. These are folks who are true inspectors, walking fields, agronomic experts, that kind of thing, that are participating. And so this is a five session virtual training. And it started this week. And then each inspector will attend a crop in-person training, and they'll get credentialed. So I have a credentialing certificate from each crop. And so an individual could choose to be credentialed in every crop that we offer, or they could just, you know, maybe those in the Midwest, you know, just want corn and soy. But we'll offer that in-person, true hands-on training to all of those individuals. And that is, you know, that kind of brings on another 5 or 6 trips a year for the AOSCA office. And, but I think it's going to be a really, really valuable thing for us. And I'm be curious to see kind of how it works itself out in 2026.
But 5 to 6 trips a year for the AOSCA office.
On top of
actually meaning for Sarah.
For Sarah. Yes. On top of the other trips I don't add up because I don't want to know.
I'm with you. Okay. Last question. This year, the 26th annual conference for AOSCA is going to be where and when?
Sure. We are going to be in Colorado this year. And it is that same week that we always have ours at, the 15th through the 19th. And we'll be in that the Golden, Colorado area.
15th to 19th of June.
June. I'm sorry. Yes, June.
Yeah. Okay. Golden, Colorado, also famous for a small beer that is sold nationally.
Wow. I was just really jealous. With my colleague went to visit the hotel, and they actually had like the Golden Day of the dogs. It was the whole place was full of Goldens, and so I'm just still a
Wait a
little
minute.
salty that I
Golden
didn't go.
retrievers? There were golden retrievers all over the place?
Everywhere, everywhere. So, yeah.
Well, there. That's a great note. It's close to both mine and Catherine's hearts to end on. So, hey, Sarah, thank you so much for spending some time with us on Stock Talk. We really appreciate the work that you do at Ayahuasca that keeps the certification going on seed because it matters to every one of our members. And hey, hope we'll see you in Indianapolis at our 37th of January. And we're just going to see if we can't find a way to get down to Golden with you and back in June.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks. Oh, we forgot to do like, subscribe, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, like, subscribe, and share so we
Oh,
can
well.
entertain other people.
There you go. All
Thanks.
right. All good. All right.